Well, I gave you a fair warning last week when we talked about breath that we're going to talk about blood this week. And to do that, I actually want to talk about our dog that we lost last October. And this dog was a little dog, and this little dog, just like all little dogs, was nuts, all right? I think there's something bred in the little dogs. They are OCD. They have compulsive disorders. And so this dog was crazy all from the very beginning, being obsessed with, you know, we used to call him the cat dog because he would bathe himself all the time. But so he was already obsessed with like picking at himself. And one time, as the fall was coming around, this compulsion got compounded by an allergy. And so now he had a skin allergy and he already was prone to pick at himself. And so we didn't know what to do with this. And he was going after the end of his tail like it was his enemy. And just something with the allergy and the compulsion, he could not leave the end of his tail alone. And he finally got kind of all the hair off of it. And so at that point, we're like, we got to take this dog in. He hadn't slept for days. He just would circle trying to get his tail. He was so out of his mind with his discomfort. We took him to the vet, and the vet, I'm sure if you've had an animal before, you got one of these things. It's called the e-collar. It is this is a cone-shaped thing that you put around the dog's head. And we thought, well, that should help him. He can't get at his tail anymore, and he gave him a shot to kind of make the itchiness of his skin subside just a little bit. And so we think things are going okay that day. He gets a little bit of sleep, and so that night we go to bed, and we're in bed, and I can hear that he is getting super agitated again about 2 a.m. He is getting up, and I can hear him running into stuff too now with the collar, because every time he circles around, he bangs into our bed or he bangs into a dresser. He's making all kinds of noise, and it just gets louder and louder, and he seems more agitated, and it's dark in the room. And about 3 a.m, I decide I cannot take this any longer. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to get this dog out of here. And when I get up, I walk around the side of the bed where the dog is, and I step in a wet spot, and I think, oh, great, he's had an accident on the floor. On top of, like, just being crazy and keeping me up, he's had an accident. And then I remember thinking, like, is it raining in here? Because I was feeling like drips land on myself. And I was like, it's not raining outside. There could not be a leak in the roof. I mean, our bedroom's on the second floor. I'm like, what is going on? And so I scoop the dog up and I run him out of our bedroom. I get out in the hallway and turn on the light because I'm trying not to wake up Gypsy through all of this. Though I'm not sure how she's sleeping through the dog, like going bananas at this point. And I get out there, and what I find out is that e-collar actually had not helped him from staying away from his tail. It was just the right length that he could use it to pin his tail down and really go at the end of it. And he had nipped off the end of his tail, and if you know anything about dog anatomy, I didn't know anything to this point, there's an artery that goes right to the end of a dog's tail, and he had been just pumping blood out all over our bedroom in the middle of the night. And so I have him outside. I find a dirty sock on the floor, because there are always dirty socks on our floor at our house. And I shove it on the end of his tail, and there's a roll of duct tape in the hall closet. I kind of tape it on there just to kind of put some pressure on and make sure this thing stops. And I whisper into Gypsy, I was like, don't turn on the lights, whatever you do. So, of course, it's like, gets up. And I said, well, if you're going to turn them on, just be prepared. And you turn them on, and like, there are these beautiful arcs of arterial blood that have been squirted like on the wall. And that puddle that I thought he had an accident was actually where his tail had bled out on the floor. And our bedroom is, every part of it, every piece of furniture, the carpet, is covered in this stuff. And so, you know, point, I get him up. I've kind of got it under control in the sock, and I rush him to the emergency vet in the middle of the night, and we go out there and we get it taken care of, and I get him back home about 5 a.m. and now it's time to go to work. But we've done a little bit of work on this carpet in the night, just trying to see if we could keep it from staining too bad. And so we've done some work, but I know when I get home that evening, this is going to be the night's job. We've really got a lot of cleaning to do. So, you know, I'm at the university at my day job, and I'm looking for a way to, like, find the best kind of cleaning solution on the internet. And I'm really hoping, like, you know, they're not monitoring my browser history here, because I'm sure, you know, I'm literally, I'm like, well, there's an industry around crime scene cleanup, right? There must be, like, some methods that they have out there. So I looked it up, and I was like, getting blood out of carpets. You know, what do they do? You know what I found out? They don't do anything. They pull that carpet up. You want to know why? You can't clean blood. Period. It is not possible to get blood out of stuff. And I'll tell you, we did a pretty good job getting it so it wasn't so noticeable. But I can tell you, even if it wasn't visibly there, you know, on a hot, humid day in the middle of the summer, you would just smell just enough of it there until we got that carpet replaced. You can't clean up blood. Blood stains stuff in such a way that it cannot be cleaned. So what are we doing here, talking about blood cleaning something up? We must be out of our minds, actually, that we're going to talk for a whole week this week about how blood makes things clean. Because anybody who's ever had a dog that bit off their tail in the middle of the night knows that's not true. Blood only stains. Blood just stains things. In fact, we hear it today in the reading. They got to go buy that field because it's a blood money, and they got to put something evil there. You might think about it. Last week I told you the creation story in the Bible, where the dirt of the earth is infused with the breath of God to make it live. Well, there's a reason they picked breath to tell that story in ancient Israel, is because all the other cultures picked blood around them, because blood was evil and people were evil. Blood is a bad thing. That's why vampires drink blood, because vampires are evil. Of course, their food is something bad. And yet, we are here today, and for all this week, I'm going to come and tell you blood is good. And the reason I'm going to tell you about it is because I believe this is at the heart of what is great about our God. What is great about our God isn't that God knows how to get blood out of things. It's that God knows how to clean with something that you cannot clean with. Something that should be evil and bad, should stain and should mark. God uses that not with some special detergent he has to get it out of the world. God takes all of it, all of the evil and the violence and the injustice that we can dish out, and he turns it into the detergent of the world. This isn't about, this cross isn't about God like satisfying some like cosmic like justice system that he set up. That's not power at all. It's really power to say, I can take the thing that only stains and I can make it a cleaner. I can take that thing that should make the saints' robes dark with redness and make it white. As John sees in his vision and revelation, he asks how the saints' robes get so white. And they tell him, God used blood to do that. This is why God is so great. This is why God is so powerful. Because God can take all of the bad things in this world, and he does not ignore them. He does not shy away from them. He meets them head on, and he says, you know what I'm going to do with these bad things? I'm going to make them good. I'm going to make righteousness from unrighteousness. And the reason we're going to talk about the cross this week and the way we're going to encounter it is because God takes the thing that should mean our certain condemnation, the ultimate rejection of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He takes that very moment that should seal our damnation forever, and he turns it into the thing that saves us. That's a powerful God. Not one that can mete out some kind of justice system. Not one that just takes it and says, I know it's bad and I'm just going to turn the other cheek. But one who can transform all of the evil and violence and injustice and the ways that we treat each other unfairly and the ways that we withdraw love from each other that is deserved. He says, those are the things I can work with to make you clean again. Amen. Amen.